Kevin, how are you, my man? How are you doing today?
Good, good. I'm excited to be here, and thank you so much for inviting.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm excited as well. You guys have exploded on the scene, kind of in the big hyped run up of Bitcoin L2s, maybe a year and a half ago, and you guys have been killing it on pretty much all the metrics across the boards since then. So a lot to touch on from what you guys are building. BitVM is a hot topic, and you guys are kind of at the forefront there as well.
Yes.
But before we dive in, I'd love to first get a few pieces of context on you. What is your background and kind of like give us the run up to what you were doing before you got into BitLayer, and then I'll have some questions after that.
Thanks. Yeah, I joined industry in 17, and that is a bull run. And from day one, I was building L1 and L2s. Until now, actually, I have launched four EVM compatible chains, two zkLookup for Ethereum. But unfortunately, some of them I didn't live that long. Before BitLayer, actually, the best product I built is called Huobi Ecosystem Chain. That was in last bull run in 2020, late 2020, and Huobi, the biggest exchange at that time in the world, and decide to build EVM compatible chain. And I start a department, blockchain department, and finally we have about 300 engineers there. Echo at that time we do have a good times, like 4 million transaction a day, and 14 billion US dollar TVL totally. So we do have a good day. Even the numbers, if for now, is a very good number. We got revenue, gas revenue, and about 15 million in 3 months. Really good day for me. After that, and after the transition of ownership of Huobi sold to Justin Sun, and I left the company. This is my background. After that, I have been helping ABCDE Capital to do the some kind of a part-time partners. I love actually DD and a lot of projects, including Bitcoin ecosystem in 2023. And that's the journey start.
Got it. Okay, that's a good run up into the kind of like genesis of BitLayer, but I want to touch on a couple of things you said, because you joined in 2017, but it's pretty rare for people to be chain launchers, if you will. Like that sounds like it takes a special skill set to be launching chains when everyone else is kind of building smart
Yes.
contracts on chain and front ends. And you mentioned, I mean, 300 engineers, that's an insane number. So real quick, like what was your skill set beforehand that made you uniquely fit to be someone to be able to like build these ecosystems, launch them, all of that?
You mean the skill set to launch a blockchain and then make a
Yeah,
lot
I'm
of
just
people
wondering,
use
like
it?
the technical mindset to build an application that's very useful seems different than the mindset to
I
launch
see.
a chain that's useful.
I see. Yeah. Because my crypto career start and actually post Ethereum time. That was in 2017. Actually, we already have Ethereum, and we already have EVMs. People already had a consensus that the new blockchains should have Turing completeness support. Without this, we can't do anything special. But at 2017 and 18, people won't think EVM compatible is reasonable. They always want to make something different, like building new consensus. So at that time, we have a lot of people in the market, like Algorand, and Cardano. Actually, they try to make a little difference on the consensus. So when I start my first blockchain, actually we do have some innovation, and actually combination of consensus algorithm that is combining the idea of Algorand and POS and others. So we do need to make something different on in consensus. Then is the so because we at that time we a blockchain actually have several components, including the consensus system and also transaction pools and the mechanism for broadcasting the transactions. Another part is the database, how to how to store a huge amount of data. Because from 17, market has have the consensus, have the knowledge that the state boom, the booming of the state, should be a huge problem for Ethereum. So this can be a very important issue to solve. So a lot of people explore the rental system of the on-chain data sets. And another part is the like clients, that how if there is a high-performance protocol, high-performance execution and blockchain, if a new node want to join the network, how long it takes to sync the whole blockchain? And there is a lot of mechanism to boost the time. And so this is a lot of component. And also P2P network, they also have something to make something new. At that time, people won't think, we just fork Ethereum, go Ethereum code, that's enough. People don't think about that. People always try to build something new. So that's the very old time that I start my career. So my first project have done a lot of things in all this area I mentioned. Then when the time come to 2020, when Binance Smart Chain have launched in March and they get some attention, then people tend to know. And at that time, and also the big environment, is Ethereum has the Ethereum leadership like to push forward the roll-up model, roll-up centric roadmap, because they actually, for my part, because it's the sharding doesn't work. The sharding doesn't work, so they pivot to roll-up model. So from 2020, people think, why don't we just follow all the things the same as Ethereum? Yeah, I forgot to mention, before 2020, people always changing some virtual machine, some opcode. That means you have built a whole toolchain system, including the compiler, the wallets, because the transaction format is different from Ethereum. You cannot use MetaMask at that time, so you have to build a whole toolchain. You have to fork. So if we look back at the blockchains at that time, including Algorand, Conflux and others, actually they have to build all the toolchains. But all these things actually go to the history, because the low-up centric, EVM dominations, and this is the story everybody knows after that.
That is, you just dropped a gold mine. That's super interesting. And I think some of these we might come back to later as we deep dive into BitLayer. But you mentioned some of the big decisions going into blockchain construction are, what's your consensus mechanism? How do you handle the mempool and kind of aggregate transactions? How do you store the giant amount of data that's going to be on chain? Light client, which is kind of like a verification thing, is my understanding. Yeah. Virtual machines, which is like how you're going to process and like replay what's happening in these transactions. So take me to, you were working at a fund, it sounds like you said ABCDE, and you're looking at Bitcoin stuff. What happens between then and you meet up with Charlie and you guys decide to launch and build BitLayer? Because that sounds like a big decision, although you've already been doing it with other chains. What was that like, the early stages of like, yeah, let's do this, this is a good idea, let's go?
Yeah, there's several questions here, including Charlie and me, the story of Charlie and me, and the journey and the experience I worked for ABCDE, and how we end up building in Bitcoin ecosystem. Charlie and me first know each other as competitors, because at that time, he is leading the APAC team of Polygon, and he stole a lot of projects from Hekko, from my blockchain. Because Hekko hobby ecosystem, hobby want to quick Chinese market, and the protocols on Hekko need to go multi-chain. So at that time, Polygon maybe is the best choice. It may be the best choice. So, we know each other as competitors. And he know that the Hekko team, the the tag is solid. This is the first impression he told me afterwards. And then we become kind of a friend on internet. And we met each other, we connect each other in 2023. And when I left 4B and he also left Polygon, he became the investor of his own fund. And I become part-time partners for ABCDE. And yeah, that's come to the journey of my part-time partners for ABCDE. Actually, this dated back to the very old days. I worked with Du Jun, the co-founder of 4B, a co-founder of ABCDE Capital. And we worked together to push Heiko forward. As a tech lead, I built Heiko for him. And he came back to 4B to at that time to save the company, because the CEO and the chairman and the CEO Liang Li is has some trouble at that time. He think building a new business, build a new department, new things, like building on-chain things is a good opportunity, because at that time a lot of Asian people who never access to DeFi. Actually, there is a huge asymmetric market opportunity at late 2020. We decided to build these things. I worked with him for over 5 years since 2020. And in 2023, after I left 4B, and the ABCD Capital have been, I think at that time, already gain a lot of momentums in the crypto VCs, and they had a lot of good deals, including ZK Tech and others. That time, Bitcoin ecosystem come to some kind of a good time, and a lot of projects come up, and I serve as some kind of tech DD for them. The curious part is all these teams, I know all the tech proposal, the tech team, and I have to introduce the engineers to them, and we have to invest money to them, and we have to make architecture for them. And this is really interesting. Why not we just build ourselves? Because I have rich experience building blockchains. Why don't we build ourselves? So start at the summer, this idea came up in my head, and in September we try to find some solution if we can build a real Bitcoin layer 2. So the key part is this, because a Bitcoin layer 2 is the biggest narrative at that time. Mm-hmm. And because Ethereum layer 2 is really hot at that time. Then we think, is there any, after we dig into this part, we think actually the market have to make some trade-offs. The dilemma here, you have to choose, actually there's a trade-off between programmability and the Bitcoin security. You can choose Bitcoin security that is state channel, Lightning networks, but you can only do payments. The programmability is limited, and you can choose to build sidechain with EVM and other VMs, but it is just a sidechain. You cannot inherit any or borrow any security from Bitcoin. Mining, I don't think much mining is a good way, because the consensus, the protocol, the mining pools and miners didn't know anything about the new protocol. The miners don't protect their the sidechains, the much mining, the L2s, the sidechain L2s. So we don't think this makes sense. And we think the key part is we need to verify the state transition on L1. At that time, people think it's impossible. It's impossible. When we're talking about verification, based on the education we have during last round about Ethereum's load up and Ethereum's on chain, we have to build ZK lookup or OP lookup. The key part is verification. You have to, the That's really impossible. That's impossible to build validation or verification components on Bitcoin using Bitcoin script. So we become really sad. We become very sad. We just invest a lot of project building side chains. What does it mean? So the things changing are changing after we saw the proposal and white paper of Robin Lanner's BigVM. That's actually a historic paper for even at least for us. So we said big layer over big thanks to Ethereum, to Robin Lanner's. And at that time, people think actually the BigVM V1 white paper is they try to build an arbitrary computation verification. That means you need to build something like OP and Arbit do. You have to build a middleware virtual machines like the Wasm virtual machine or the MIST virtual machines to explain, to represent the underlying execution. And also there's other drawbacks, including maybe several months of challenging time that doesn't make any sense in the production environment. But even though that model have a lot of drawback, but we think this is feasible because the idea is very good. We just need to polish it and adjust it to a feasible protocol. That's all. So at that time, people think maybe BigVM you need 5 years or 3 years. People don't dare to choose this way. And actually, in the same time, we have several options to choose. First is BigVM. Second is RGB. Third is maybe it is the Arc and Lightning Networks. Actually, Arc and Lightning Network, we think is the similar thing. Basically, they can categorize into two types. First, BigVM is on-chain verification, and RGB and Lightning Networks, actually they are off-chain. That is client-side verification. If we can build on-chain verification, why we need off-chain and client-side verification? Because at the very beginning, we think on-chain verification is the real L2 or real native database to scaling. If the validation or verification fail, you can trigger some actions like to make user to withdraw their money or to pause the whole system. You can do this. Without this on-chain verification, you have to use the social consensus to make it stop. That doesn't make sense. So this is a really basic principle as an old Bitcoin, old blockchain builders and layer 2 builders. So it's a really basic principle. If we can build on-chain verification, why we need client-side verification? Then, so right after the white paper, we decide to focus on this tech. So we are the first team that announce and focus on BigVM. We want to build layer 2s and other protocols on BigVM. That's in 2023, right after the proposal of BigVM. Right after the proposal, we think we can do that. Design the architect and the whole component. Actually, we still can see the very original, very early days of our architect use BigVM as a component to verify the state transition on L1. That is for proof, of course. This is the journey start. So yeah.
No, this is super good. You're making my job easy because I'm gonna have so much clips to pull from what you just talked about. I mean, the story that you and Charlie were competitors is a great story as well. So that's awesome. You touched on kind of like lessons from ETH, like rollup versus sharding. So like you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can take from your experience, bring that to Bitcoin. L1 versus L2, which that's the whole debate. Like if you can do it on L1, obviously do it because you get all that security and that hash rate securing it. You just can't do that much. So you have to go to L2 to get that programmability. And then you jumped into BitVM, which I want to touch on next. It is interesting to me, timing-wise, in 2023, we saw Ordinals launch at the beginning of the year, and we also saw crazy spikes in the mempool, like people just degenerating like crazy for BRC20s and inscribing. I think we saw our first 500 sat fee rate, which was insane. And I think a lot of that is what kind of caused people to realize, oh, maybe Bitcoin, one, doesn't scale, which we already knew, but now its time has come to start building these L2s. So you kind of got into Bitcoin L2 season. So I want to jump in, I want to double click on some things on BitVM. You covered some of them, but real quick, give me like a couple paragraph overview of what is BitLayer for context.
BitLayer, right?
Yep,
or BitVM. BitLayer want to build infra to ensure Bitcoin DeFi happen on chain or Bitcoin finance happen on chain. That means we need to build the best bridge, which is should be much better than WBTC and TBTC. Actually, BitVM bridge can fit our requirements. And second, we need to build high performance blockchain to support the trading programs. And they think big roll-up model is a very good model for building high performance program environment or smart contract execution environment, because there's no consensus mechanism there. You can build, you can make it several milliseconds as a confirmation, block confirmation. That make so-called real-time blockchain. So we think building the bridge and building the roll-up to solve the security problem, and then build a high-performance EVM-compatible environments and other environments like 10,000 TPS to support the Bitcoin DeFi, Bitcoin on-chain finance.
Perfect. Okay, that sounds good. The mission statement is clear. I love it. Bitcoin DeFi should be on chain. So give us let's jump into some BitVM stuff. First, give us like a brief overview. I think most of us have tried to read the white paper, watch some of Robin's talks. It's still very complicated. So like, if you could give us a basic Eli 5 on what BitVM is.
Yeah, I will try as hard as I can to make it explain like a 5, but maybe it's a little hard to do this. I like to add some characteristic or some definition for a BitVM. First, BitVM is a validation component. It's not a virtual machine that people think it will be, such as Ethereum, EVM, and SVM others. Actually, there won't be too much user program or developer program that run on BitVM, actually. Even though BitVM won, that won't happen, because Bitcoin will remain as in its nature that you cannot run these things on Bitcoin, because it is slow, it's expensive, and it's very limited block space. You can never use, if somebody told you that they have built some virtual machine that own Bitcoin, that's bullshit. You cannot do that, because Bitcoin will remain as it is, will never change, the block time will never change. The block size maybe also will never change. So it will never happen. So, but as I mentioned, it's a validation or verification component. That means you can do the computation off chain, and then you can verify it on chain. Actually, it will be the same, or it will be the equivalent effect that you do the computation on chain. Actually, the same. It is so because you can verify something like Ethereum's layer 2 using ZK proof or floor proof to verify. And BitVM itself, it is a floor proof framework like, because it follow the scheme, like make commitment, prover make commitment, and verifier or challenger observe the data and then initiate the challenge. Because of the there is a deposit in the commitment of prover, the prover have to respond. If they don't want to lose the money, he have to respond to the in the challenge. This is called assertion in BigVM scheme. And if something bad happened, the verifier or challenger can do the slash. This is called disapprove in BigVM in context. So to conclude, BigVM is a validation of verification components for Bitcoin. You can verify any computations on Bitcoin. That means you can borrow some certain extents or certain level of Bitcoin's security. And also it is fraud proof, and it's a OP load up, something like OP load or called optimistic computation. That means suppose the whole thing is work fine and the wait for a challenge time, and if all things go good, nothing happens. If things go bad, we'll make sure that the malicious users are proposed, you get slash, and the trust assumption is one of them. That means even though there's one validator that is honest, the whole system works. This actually is a groundbreaking trust assumption in Bitcoin scaling solution.
No, this is perfect. I want to double click to make sure I got this right. I'm going to try my best to kick it back what you just said for the layman in the audience, which is myself, really. So first things first, BitVM is almost kind of a bad name because virtual machine has so much baggage attached to it. When people think of VMs, they think of...
But it gained a lot of attention just because it's bad.
Totally. Yep. But when people think of VMs, they think of it's like a piece of software, almost like an OS, a mini OS. It's just like processing, yes, taking in transactions, making sure they're valid, and then putting them on, saying this is verified, and you can append it to the chain. BitVM is not doing a lot of the computation that's happening somewhere else, and you can verify something. So the way I think about this is like when I learned about hash functions, that was really helpful. So like, you know, if you have the number 10 and you say this is what the correct state is, you don't know, is it 5 plus 5? Is it 1 plus 9? That's kind of the computation piece. You have all these different signatures that come together, and they collapse into one hash. Uh-huh. And so the BitVM piece is like, you don't have to do all the stuff up here. As long as this is correct, you're good. And then is the prover assertion area where if there's a debate here, you go up the tree to see where you guys disagree? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. Very good explanation. You're much better than me.
I've been trying so long to understand this, so that's good, and hopefully that's helpful for people at a high level. So the main way that people are using BitVM is exactly for this purpose, which is that because of how limited and expensive block space is, if you could just solve the bridging piece, you sent out Bitcoin and you want to pull off Bitcoin back off the bridge, just yes, that enough unlocks all the kind of L2 space. But you're just proving for, did this person send Bitcoin, or does this person have the proper tokens to prove that they can bridge out? That's the main thing happening here, right?
Yes, the commitments or the challenging things actually is when the people want to pack out, the system need to generate the commitments. Yeah, this is how it happens.
Commitments. Okay, cool. And then give us some color on, you know, BitVM came out, white paper came out in 2023. There was a BitVM 2, it seems like not very long after. I think we have some people on testnet now that are alive. But what's the current status of BitVM broadly? Because there's an alliance that's formed with some of the top builders, and I think you guys are part of that. So BitVM broadly, and then like where is BitVM and BitLayer currently in your building?
Cool. Yeah, actually, I have a few weeks before I have tried to summarize, because I was asked to give a lecture or a presentation about the history of BigVM. Yeah, actually, it's a really maybe I can also send after this I can send you,
yes,
some picture to demonstrate my idea. Generally, BigVM has several versions and several extensions or the derivatives. There's the Big VM one, actually the Big VM, the team led by Robin Linus have published two white papers. First is in 2023 October, and we normally call it Big VM one. It is general purpose to because it's a flaw proof. You need to verify certain computation. Then you make a choice. Your first choice is you verify the arbitrary computation. Then, if you want to make this, you can do this. You have to build the middleware virtual machine, as I mentioned, like the Ethereum's OP lookup do. And second is to challenge or approve a certain piece of program. That will make the things much more easier. And if this certain program is a ZK proof off-chain, happen on off-chain, that will make a lot of sense. That you just make the ZK proof off-chain and make the challenge up on the ZK proof on chain. That you can solve all the problem of building, and you can get rid of all the problem of building the virtual machine using Bitcoin script. Because building a virtual machine like RISC-V virtual machine should be a huge engineering effort, and maybe using Bitcoin script cannot build, because a virtual machine has some register manipulations, and it's really really difficult to simulate using Bitcoin script. So the Big VM one white paper come up in October 2023. The community began to have demo or toy implementation using JavaScript, and they even try to implement some opcode of RISC-V. But at the time about last year, March, people come to find that building a RISC-V using Bitcoin script take so long time. So why not we just verify the ZK proof? Then then when talking about ZK proof, actually there are ZK snark and ZK start. And it's not easy to build a ZK start verifier without upgrade. But of course, we have some very interesting innovation, and I will share some information that later. And another type is the ZK snark, and including the group 16 and FFLong and Plonk. So the first version of Group 16 was developed, verifier was developed in I think it's early March and April. And the core team like to solve some drawback and some problem in Big VM 1, and think if we just build a very narrow scope to build a bridge, the whole things will be much easier and make more sense, because we can get rid of some problems because we don't want a permissioned verifier. That doesn't make any sense. We need to let the verifier to be permissionless. After several months of discussion and research in August, the Big VM 2 white paper, it is the bridging BTC into layer 2 or Psi system that's focused on bridge building. At that time, that was before the Big VM Alliance. And after people have get a consensus how to build things, actually there are several teams in the market, including Big Layer, Alpens, Citra, and others. And Robin just start the Big VM Alliance to push forward the bridge implementation. And after, we have the meeting every week for the Big VM Alliance. We have every week, and the most things, including the optimization of the ZK verifier, which you mentioned, actually is 1 gigabyte. Actually, before that is 4 gigabyte, and a lot of people have done a lot of including us and Alpens have done optimization on it and decrease into into 1 gigabyte, less than 1 gigabyte, and we're still trying to optimize the algorithms to make it smaller. And another part is to actually all these things is built from scratch. First, to build a zk-array verifier, you need to build the arithmetic computations, manipulations like the multiplying and others, because Bitcoin do not have multiplying. You have to get it. And group 16, you have to use the elliptic curve pairing operation. So you need to use the multiplying to simulate or to write the elliptic curve pairing operations. And then you can find you also need hash functions. There are several versions of hash functions, including the SHA-256. Layer team contribute the first version of SHA-256, and also Blake-3 and others to make it smaller. With all this, we can finally build a ZK verifier. But the ZK verifier is, as I mentioned, is one fit. It can never fit into the block size for VB, MB, VByte, Mega VByte block space. How to do that? So then we need to chunk into small pieces that can fit into 4 megabyte. And there will be maybe hundreds of chunks. Then you need to, after this chunk, you need to connect all these things, because challenging happens, the proposer need to publish the connection of all these chunks to let the verifier to download the data to find the specific flow, and then the verifier will pick the flow piece, put on chain, and do the slash. So a chunker is needed. We donate and we contribute to the first version of chunkers, including the automatic chunkers and the manual chunkers. With all this, we finally get the ZK verifier ready. But other parts, this is only the basics. Upon this, we need to build business or protocols. Like if you want to build a bridge, you need to build a lot of pre-signing transaction graph. And also you need to, if you want to build a bridge that connected to Ethereum, you have to build a light client that, because when people pack out, and because BigVM is adopt a motion that if people, user Alice, want to pack out, Bob, you full run the big BTC to him first and then ask to reclaim and then to reclaim. When he make the reclaim, he need to prove that at least two things. First, Bob has sent Alice BTC on chain, on L1. Second, he have to prove the burning on L2 happened. All these things need to be verified on Bitcoin L1. This is called light clients. And this is the light clients about bridge. If you want to build a low up, based on BigVM, you have to build another type of protocols, a transaction graph and another components. And if you want to build a staking protocol or CDP stablecoin protocols, you will need to adapt this protocol to this business model. This is how the whole engineering things have containings. For the latest progress, the alliance finalize the code before February. When we reach February, we decide to optimize a little bit, and then we finally get the work. Actually, I am leading the auditing progress, auditing things for this BigVM alliance before Chinese New Year, and we start to connect it to at least 5 auditors, and we told them we are almost ready. Please evaluate for us, and they do the first version of proposal, and then we decide to refactor a little bit and to. How to say, to save some money because people, because it will take a lot of money to audit this huge did that huge bunch about amount of Bitcoin script size, and finally we get the final version and finalized version. I think is 2 weeks before, and we are going to start the auditing right now. And I think
awesome.
If things happen, if things goes good, we will have two auditors that do the auditing work secretly. And then also then I will lead the bug bounty program. And we have made a demo about the latest progress about this project. And Robin, I think in the coming next week, maybe he will do the announcement with the demo.
Very, very exciting.
That's called it's also developer preview. It's not demo. We decided to call it the developer preview. I think this information, I think in the market, it's the first time that we disclosed all this information for the first time.
And it got alpha leak. This timing is also interesting because depending how long audits take, it sounds like there might be some big news by Bitcoin Vegas, which will be a good time to release some big news to go out there.
Yeah.
No, this is super interesting. You cover a ton of topics that, like, especially for the nerdy people that want to understand this stuff like me, like, I've heard RISC-V, I've heard Groth-16, all this stuff. I'll add some links below for people that they can deep dive into. I want one more topic on BitVM, and then we'll just do some rapid-fire questions. And this may be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. In the BitVM paradigm, you have fraud proofs, and then you have the verifier, the ZK verifier. And when I hear this, I can never tell, is the ZK verifier, which is currently 1 gig, is it put on chain once and then leveraged over time and the fraud proofs are compared against it? Or is it uploaded periodically? Like, give me the dance between the verifier and the fraud proofs as far as like on-chain, like consistency of having to go on-chain and post it.
All the things need to post on-chain is first the commitment. You need to make a commitment about the state routes and others bit commitment. And second is when the verifier initiate the challenge. The next step is to the prover to respond to the challenge. What he need to do is post the connections between the chunks on chain, all the connections between the chunks, then the verifier can find that is we call it into intermediate values. Like, if we chunk the 1 gigabyte verifier into four gigabyte, that we have about 250 intermediate values. The prover just need to push all 250 intermediate values on chain, and because then the prover can find the flow which intermediate had like intermediate value or intermediate state is wrong, then he can choose like suppose the 100th connections value are wrong, then the verifier pick 100 pieces of 100 chunk, the 100th chunk of all the 250 chunks, and put one chunk that chunk onto L1 and do the slash. So to make conclusion, you don't need to put 1 gigabyte on chain.
Okay. No, that's helpful. Perfect. All right. A couple more questions, then we'll close this out. This has been fantastic. So thank you for coming and dropping knowledge for us. One hot topic right now, obviously, is opcodes. We have a couple big conferences coming up that are mostly focused on trying to figure out consensus, like OpNext pretty soon. And the two front runners seem to be OpCat and CTV plus Checksig from Stack are kind of like the current two runners. But how do you see the big appeal to BitVM is that it doesn't need an opcode. It just makes it better. So how do you see the opcode debate currently? And like, do you have a dog in this fight?
Yeah. Actually, last year before consent, before DepCoin, I have wrote some a survey about the current status of the upgrades. And I think there are several takeaways. First, the community are diverse. We containing, it's really different from the very beginning of this whole Bitcoin ecosystem. For now, we have at least six stakeholders, types of stakeholders in this ecosystem, including miners, of course, the ecosystem builders like us, and also the protocol builders, the Bitcoin core devs, maintainers, and also the influencers, the economic nodes, that is custody platforms and the centralized change and others. And also there will be investors. So the investors, including the government, that's really high sensitive. So actually for only a few people among these stakeholders like to push forward the upgrades, to be frank. Actually, it is the ecosystem builders like us and OpCap builder guys and others. For Big Layer, we think we can build good things with BitVM without any hard fork and soft fork. But with specific opcode edits, we can improve this protocol, a BitVM protocol, in efficiency, cost, and even trust assumption, and also functionalities. So we can do much more if we're very lucky to have like CTV. Actually, the BitLayer team is helping Robin to make the demo about BitVM appointing CTV. And if we're lucky to have check signature from Stack, of course, we'll make it more efficient. From my part, I will be so glad to see if any upgrade to the consensus or any new opcode can be added. So it will be huge things for the community, and even for BitVM, we can get a benefit a lot from it. And we like to push forward this thing, and there are some debates between different proposals and opcodes. Suppose like OpCat, a lot of people love it or hate it, but they actually don't know the underlying reasons. They hate it or love it for no reasons, just because the other people told them.
Mm-hmm.
When people love OpCat, what can it do? Actually, people don't know. When people hate that, actually, some people will argue that they will make it some recursive governance. Will make it easier for the governments to censorship or others. Actually, I don't think this will make any sense. And we need to analyze it. If you want to reach a consensus, first, we need to align the knowledge about all the opcodes that was proposed. And then we can have debates. The result of the debates can publish to the public as some kind of consensus. If people hate some opcode, just name your reasons, tell your reasons, and we make debates. All the people make research about its potential risk and risk vectors. We cannot just say opcode as mysteries or unknown. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense in the modern world. So we like to push forward this debate in the community. So we like to work with a few teams in Hong Kong Festival next month to have this kind of debates, because BitLayer team has, based on our incubators and my experience in Huobi and in this area in Asia, actually we have a lot of connections and resources on the mining pool side, including the An pool, F2 pools and others, and also a lot of whales we can connect it to them. We can invite all these stakeholders into the conference. We do the research, do the debate, and publish the consensus to the community and push all these things forward. And last but not least about this upgrade, I think maybe we need a new on-chain governance mechanisms on Bitcoin. If we're lucky enough, I just make a proposal. For now, when people making upgrades, there will be signal system and miners will choose to accept it or not. But what about the voice of Bitcoin holders? We actually can do some votings based on our signature of BTC holding, a wallet. Actually, we can do this. Why not? Why not? So this new mechanism to reach a consensus, I think it's inevitable and maybe feasible for make this straight. If we just propose votings for the specific topic in the community using your Bitcoin, because the holders should talk, right? So this is a new, I think maybe we should consider if we can have a on-chain governance and some kind of governance systems based on the big BTC holding signatures, something like this. Yeah, a lot of talk about
this.
No,
it's interesting.
Topic.
I mean, the reason this is so interesting is because everyone has a different opinion of what consensus even means and how to make it more efficient, or should we, for example, like maybe it's a feature, not a bug. So yeah, hopefully, I mean, in my mind, all the current upgrades are pretty good in my mind, because Bitcoin is so risk off that, like, even Opcat, the surface area doesn't seem that crazy, but I'm also not super technical. Real quick though, because you do get some people who go to the other extreme, which is if we never upgrade, Bitcoin will be fine. And some people say if we do never upgrade, Bitcoin will centralize, it will ossify and slowly die. Do you have a stance on that topic? Like, if we just ossified now and just used BitVM constructions and whatever, do you think BitVM dies or Bitcoin dies?
For my part, I think there's when talking about upgrades, we need to know the reasons. I think there will be two reasons that's really critical or important to think of. First is how to make the whole system sustainable in the long term, after series of halving. If there's no subsidies for block, is there any enough transaction fees to maintain the security? I think this is the most important topic to a problem we are facing and going to need to solve. Second is the quantum resisting thing. But actually, this is easy to do because we just need to choose some kind of signatures and others. Easy to do. The most important, so as I mentioned, most important is how to keep this ecosystem, how to make sure that there's enough miners keeping the network when there's zero block subsidies, block rewards in coming years. What happened? So all things will come to a more flushed, more transaction on chain. We need to do this. But the problem is, for now, Bitcoin can only do the payment. People won't generate payment transactions for nothing, for any reason. We have to build, the only feasible way for us is, from my point of view, is to build the Bitcoin rollup model that needs to borrow the security or rent the security from Bitcoin to pay, that's some kind to pay the transaction fees to the Bitcoin miners. That will help the system, help it sustainable. This is the key problem we need to focus on. Not the other things is not important.
That makes sense to me. All right, last question. And again, thank you for this. It's been fantastic. What are you most excited about right now? It could be in BitLayer. It could be anything going on in Bitcoin. What are you most hyped about right now?
My most exciting things for coming 1 or 2 months is we are going to launch the BitVM Bridge mainnet version in the coming 1 or 2 months. And we are going through, actually, the whole code base is consists of two types. First is the public code base that is developed and shared by the Alliance. Another part is the private code base. Actually, these two components or two types of code base are being audited. So we are going to see the launch of mainnet of BigVM implementation in the coming 1 month or 2 months. And as we mentioned, we actually will be very excited to, as we make announcement last month during East Denver, and we actually already has a collaboration with several blockchains, including Arbitrum, Base, Startnet, Plume, SVM, Sonic SVMs, all these blockchains, because we need to build the canonical, we will build a canonical, a BigVM bridge between BigVM, Bitcoin and all these blockchains to let the Bitcoin liquidity, to provide Bitcoin liquidity to all these blockchains, because every blockchain need liquidity, need Bitcoin liquidity. And they also need to make sure that any pack BTC or Rapid BTC have is one-to-one pack. You have enough underlying Bitcoin on L1. Nobody can take it. That's the very important thing. And according to the discussion with our partners, actually they love it. And they love it. They love to have the native Bitcoin bridge between Bitcoin and their bridge, and we are going to solve this problem, and we deliver the project because we are Asian teams. We are able to do this. We are very excited about this.
I love it. Also, you heard it here, mainnet coming soon, so be on the lookout. Links will be down below. But yeah, it's super exciting. I'm glad that Coinbase is jumping into the Bitcoin game, and like they launched CBBTC and all that. Their numbers have been growing like crazy. Like, they have massive influence and holdings.
Yes.
But let's be real, like, it's very centralized. So you're trusting that their custody solution is solid. So BitVM is the antithesis to that, the counterweight to that, to be able to, you know, have it be much more self-custody style and decentralized. So all that to say, appreciate what you guys are working on. Thank you for coming on the show, Kevin.
Thank you for your invitation and very good questions and very good talk.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So yeah, for all those listening, I'll have links below for BitLayer, the videos he mentioned, a bunch of other goodies. But yeah, Kevin, till next time. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin. I know that things don't always go your way, but I'll be right here waiting. I've been waiting now, I've been trying to figure out a way.